Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Diva Days of Our Lives and Friends. Tonight, the Diva Spy Network and I will be discussing the last 2 weeks of the show. Feel free to call in at 913-338-1239 and press the number 1 to join us. You can also call in using Skype. You can also join us in our chat room, but you must register first if you want to chat, but you can lurk without registering. Following us daily at divaofdaysofourlives.blogspot.com. We're also now on Twitter at Diva Abdul, and we're on Facebook at Diva Days. And we have Marianne here today.
Hi, everyone.
We have Madeline.
Hi.
And Anna.
Hello.
Hi. Well, I'm so lazy, and I worked so much this week, I have no itinerary written down, so we'll just play it by ear.
Sounds good.
But I did want to talk about Monday night when we interviewed Leanne Hunley, who played Anna DiNamiro in Days of Her Lives. She's starring in a new movie that she just got done filming called Blissful Lies. And we also interviewed the writer and the director of the movie, which is Jennifer Brown Thomas. And we had a nice surprise guest when Teo Peng was called in. The first few minutes was fantastic because he got Leanne for us, who lost track of time.
He came to our rescue.
He came to our rescue. Yeah, yeah. He's fantastic. So what did you guys, Marianne, what did you think of the interview on Monday?
Oh, I thought it went very well, and I'm excited for this movie and to see Leanne in it. And I'm just amazed at the young girl, Jennifer, all that she's doing, going to school and having a baby and getting this movie made. So, and it was fun. It was fun listening to Taylor and Leanne have a conversation together.
Oh,
the chemistry was still there. I mean, they didn't miss a beat, the two of them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, it was, that was fun.
What are your thoughts about it, Anna?
Oh, they were just so cute together. I just love them. But they're, I think all three of them, I was very impressed with Jennifer as well. Of course, I'm always impressed with Teo and Leanne. But, they all, Leanne and Jennifer seem to have really bonded during the making of the movie, and seems like there's a lot of mutual respect there. And I don't know, it was just a very, very interesting evening. It was fun. You know, it was great to get to talk to Leanne. I hadn't seen her since June, so it was really a lot of fun, and learned a little bit about the movie, and sounds like it was a very hectic process, but nevertheless one that they felt went well. And and having our man rescue us and show up and surprise Leanne was really fun. So
that was a nice surprise for Leanne, I think.
Yeah.
I like when she said bad voice.
And they're cute. They're talking. They almost were talking like they didn't even realize we were,
that we were there.
Listening,
Yes.
Cute.
Yeah.
Marilyn, did you have a chance to listen to it? I know you were busy this week.
Oh, yeah. I listened to about half of it. It was listening to the two of them. They do. They sound like they're almost just talking on the phone to each other. It was
cute.
Yeah, listening to him call her love. It's just, it's so cute. And then listening to what is her name? The director of the film, was it Jennifer?
Jennifer.
Mm-hmm.
Jennifer, and tell the story about how every time Leanne talks, the baby kicked.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that was cute.
That was so adorable.
Mm-hmm. Auntie Leanne.
So, but that's about as far as I got. She was just talking about the film. So I guess I'm about halfway through the interview. That was neat. And listening to Scott.
Oh, he was wonderful.
Oh, yeah, Scott.
Yeah, and how much Leanne enjoyed listening to us call, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So, That was fun.
Yeah, I think Leanne was really touched by that.
Yeah, I'm glad he got to finally talk to her.
Oh, I know.
After, that was he's been wanting to for so long.
Yeah, that's what I love about our show is that I think this is probably our seventh. I think I counted it. It actually is it was our 17th interview.
Wow.
That the guests, they really appreciate the fans calling in. And, you know, you kind of think some of them might, you know, get jaded and, you know, like, oh, whatever, you know. I mean, when people call in, but, you know, from my point of view, it seems to me a lot of our guests were sincerely moved.
Right.
By a lot of the stuff the fans said. And especially with online, I mean, a lot of these actors know their fans just online only, and to be able to finally talk to them
right.
and hear each other.
Yeah. I think they want to get the feedback from the fans.
Well,
they love
every artist
know what they're
feedback.
Thinking.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I posted this before. Yeah, Scott made me cry.
No, I think I think Leanne said she had a few tears in her eyes too. I thought that she was really touched. So.
But and Jennifer, I mean, she's just impressive. I mean, at being 24 and being newlywed and being pregnant and being really pregnant.
And she's going to school and she's pregnant and she just got married.
Yeah, and she's trying to go into law school
one
on top of all that.
Girl.
Yeah, I mean, it makes us all feel like slackers. I'm sure as hell wasn't doing that at 24.
Yeah, I can barely tie my shoes. No, I'm kidding. No.
Yeah, I'm lucky I know where I'm going when I grab the keys in the morning. But it's very inspiring. It's like, I mean, I still don't know exactly how she did. She sat there, wrote this movie down, got the money to actually do it, and then did it. And did it within, and filmed it in 3 weeks, and got a major star in it.
I mean,
that's just impressive as hell.
Yeah, I mean, it really, she went where she had a goal. What's that?
Sorry, Anna, go ahead.
That's okay. No, I just admire the fact that she had this great idea. She was talented enough to write it and convince people, you know, seasoned actors and new actors to be able to, you know, bring them aboard and believe in the project and, you know, and to have that vision and that confidence and yet not be arrogant. I mean, she seems very down to earth and very nice. And I just was very impressed. And it sounded like Leanne was too. So.
And I was impressed too. She said she didn't have a background in theater. Or anything, filmmaking, just writing. She's written since she was a little girl. And that's what inspired her. So to even not have a background in theater or anything and to get that all accomplished is something, I think.
Yeah, I can't even imagine.
There's nothing to be said for being 24 and you don't think about how it won't work. All you do is just do it.
Right.
True.
When you're around our age.
You have advantages.
We have more of a fear of trying something new.
Yeah, it's like naivety is kind of giving her confidence. Like for me, I was like, well, I don't know how the hell to do that. I wouldn't do it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But at 24, you're like, yeah, I'm going to do it. Yeah. And she did it. And I saw it on, I think, Facebook. They're playing premieres in January for L.A. and Texas.
Oh, that's cool.
So there we have premieres lined up, so that's really cool. And we'll keep everybody updated on that when we hear stuff.
Yeah,
that was really exciting.
I just thought of something that Teo said that was so cute about him asking if the young kid that Leanne's character gets involved with, what was his exact words? I can't remember, but it was something like, did he do it better than me or something like that?
Did he do it as well as I do it?
Nobody
does it like you do.
Nobody's good to do it. Darling, nobody does it like you do it.
That's what I mean.
I thought it was funny. She introduced him to Jennifer as her husband.
Yeah, I spoke to him.
Who plays my husband?
Who plays my husband? Yeah.
I think she said TV husband. Was that what it was? TV husband?
She says he plays my husband.
She didn't even say that. She just said,
he plays my husband.
Oh, she said something like, oh, this is my husband. I've spoke of him.
I spoke of him.
That's hysterical.
Oh, God. She cracks me up. But I hope Leanne's mom's doing okay. I know she went to visit her, and I know that's been real hard on her. So, of course, our thoughts.
She's coming home for a little bit and then, leaving right away to go see her mother.
Yeah. I thought it was kind of funny, not funny, but I thought it was kind of sweet that, you know, some actors have all these demands and everything, and really the only restriction the only request that Leanne had in signing on for this was if she needed to go see her mom, you know, in the middle of the production or whatever. And so I thought that was really, you know, really touching. So.
She's never come off the whole, any of the interviews I've seen her in over the years, she's never come off as demanding.
I know.
Oh, no.
I thought it was
very
funny.
Nice.
It was like, oh, that's her one demand, you know. It's like, oh. So anyway, pretty cool.
She's like she's a person that she wouldn't want to ask for anything, but she didn't want to impose or be rude. She's one of those type of people.
Right.
Like, you know.
Yeah.
Right.
This is our second interview. Go ahead, Anna.
Oh, she seemed like that in person, too. She was just very sweet and down-to-earth, but real. I mean, not like Pollyanna-ish
real.
Or fake or phony or whatever, but genuine and authentic, so.
I forgot what I was going to say.
Yeah.
This is a good thing I'm not making a movie, because I would just forget what the hell I was doing halfway through.
You hired an assistant for, darling.
And it took about only 3 weeks.
Oh. Yeah. Yes, I'm going to have to get an assistant. Okay. That's a good idea. Okay, if anybody wants to intern with the diva, just let me know.
Some people just do it by marrying somebody, but, you know.
Yeah. Okay, so I'll work on that then. this is our second interview with Leanne. She was our first interview back on March 1st. So it's been,
and you guys were so much more calm, even though she wasn't there.
That wouldn't have been March.
I really have to say I was impressed by how calm you were, that she wasn't there and she hadn't called in and you didn't know where she was.
We didn't know where she was for both interviews.
It was like deja vu, you know. Here we go again.
I figured out what happened, though, because they said they were watching Dancing with the Stars and eating Häagen-Dazs ice cream, and Dancing with the Stars is on a few minutes after 9. It doesn't end till, you know, into the next hour. I would imagine they'd probably be in the hotel, were watching, wanted to see the end of it, and then called in thinking that, you know, it was time when really the show.
I think
show
they lost track of time.
Yeah, it's a show.
Yeah,
it
might have been,
runs
might have been
a
time then.
So. But hey, we got to talk to Teo, so hey.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, he could have called in and said, you know, oh, she's not here. Well, I'm sorry, I have to go. But no, he helped out. You know,
yeah.
He could tell we were like concerned, and he was concerned and said that he'd try to get her. So.
Yeah, cool, because you never know if there's technical problems. You know, anything could happen. I mean, we're all across, you know, from across the country and everything, and you just never know, you know. So it was fun. It was something definitely
to
remember.
It turned out good, just like the first one did.
Exactly.
Yeah. It was great.
Well, that's what's fun about things live.
It's spontaneous, right. Yeah, that's right.
You never know what the hell is going to happen. It could be awesome, or it could be a train wreck, or it could be a really awesome train wreck,
We thought it was going to be a train wreck, and it turned out to be a good one. So.
She was only off the air for, 3 minutes? It wasn't a big deal.
Like 3 minutes, yeah.
We can BS for 3 minutes. We can kill 3 minutes.
Like,
that's not
even
a challenge.
The other one was almost a half hour, wasn't it?
Yes, with you.
Yeah, the first one was a half an hour.
And
yeah,
we talked
about
our favorite Anna scenes, and we got through it.
Yeah. It's always good to have a plan B. So let's actually talk about the show.
What show was that? No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, that show is on. That one's on NBC. Gotcha. So, oh, I heard, I forgot all about this. I saw in Drudge Report, Jeff Zucker did get fired from it, NBC.
Yeah. I think that's a good thing. I think that's a good thing. Could be wrong, but.
Oh, yeah, because, yeah.
Were they still with Dave?
Yeah, it wasn't,
You really think it's going to make a difference, though, for Days of Our Lives?
I don't know. Comcast is in charge now, I guess, out of GE, but wasn't Jeff Zucker the one that said, oh, yeah, Days of Our Lives, we're not going to renew that, it's going to be gone? And then the ratings went down immediately and never really recovered. Wasn't it him that said that they were getting out of daytime?
I thought that was before they went up. And then they went back.
Yeah, they go up and down.
I thought that was more than a year ago.
It was a few years ago.
Yeah.
He said that.
Yeah.
He said, we're done with soaps, and then the ratings went down, and they kind of stayed down until, I think probably the ratings were down to like last November, really. Then they picked up with the whole Sydney thing.
It kind of depends too on which ratings you're talking about. If you're talking about the household ratings, they went up for a while, but the demos never went up. In fact, the demos have done nothing but gone down in the last 2 years.
Yeah,
so.
And the ratings now, As World Turns actually bumped Days out of fourth, and Days was down to fifth, but Days actually gained in viewers. They were still
The difference between Days and, who was it, One Life to Live and somebody else this week was like, they were all in fifth place, and Days was only above them because they gained a little tiny bit.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty sad.
Other than
a few things that I've seen, the major stories, they deserve to be where they are. I'm sorry.
I've really been enjoying it last month or so with Stefano and Kate on more, and Victor and Maggie, and Brady turning dark for a little bit here. I've really enjoyed it.
I'm loving Brady.
I like all of those things, but that's not the majority of the show, I guess, for me.
Right.
The majority of the show is the whole EJ, Rafe, and Sammy thing.
Which is just going nowhere.
It's going somewhere.
Well, we're still on the kidnapping,
technically.
Yeah.
It's just not enjoyable to watch.
And the whole Chloe Daniel thing, they could just skip that whole
thing.
Oh,
God.
Well, see,
the shower,
for me,
did you see the baby shower?
Well, I did get a baby shower.
A fun baby shower.
I loved
showers.
Nicole.
Turned up drunk.
I loved it.
Yeah, but it lasted
like
2 seconds. They let her come in, insult a few people, and then it was over.
Yeah.
They could have milked that and made it so much fun and made it last half of the show. No, instead of for half of the show, we had to listen to Carly and Melanie and everybody else acting like, we're the perfect people. That's not fun. That's not entertaining.
Yeah.
Nicole was the entertaining part, and she was the shortest part of it. Not that I didn't like her and Brady at the Cheating Heart, because that was nice, too. I like that.
Mm-hmm. Her and Brady. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sorry, that baby shower could have been an absolute blast.
Well, my favorite writer wrote that episode, and I always think he does the group scenes well. He does parties well and everything. So I thought it was entertaining. I don't know. But
I didn't watch it, but go ahead.
Well, I just thought Maxine had a couple of cute lines, and they kind of allowed her to.
Okay, start with Maxine where she's going on about how somebody was having the baby in front of Chloe. That was fun.
That
like
was
that.
Cute. She had a couple of cute
lines.
Yeah,
saying that well. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that they were kind of leading up to Nicole then reality check for everyone. Hey, none of you are perfect either, So anyway, I don't know.
Well, but they didn't seem to. Did they do that?
Yeah, well,
Instead, they just have her blow out Chloe's secret.
Well, she got a snipe in at Carly, and
who then walked her out of the. Who then tried to walk her out of the house?
Yeah,
I don't know. Mm-hmm. Listening to Carly pretend to be the saint is just pretty hard for me.
When
she's sleeping with a guy whose wife is sitting in jail.
Nicole just wrote.
Well, she did bring that. She did bring that up. I think Nicole did.
Oh, good. Well, and it doesn't help that Melanie is all of those scenes, and then I have to listen to Maggie say, "Oh my God, isn't it wonderful? She came into our lives." I just about barfed.
I thought it was funny though the way they. I thought it was funny the way they were like Melanie started to tell a story about her, you know.
Yeah.
Earlier days, and they were both like,
yeah,
you know, like, don't share kind of thing.
Yeah, we don't want to hear that.
I don't know. I just thought that was cute. And I did love, Nicole wrote in the chat room, the Yo Home Girl is talking about her prison experiences.
Yeah, her devil.
I'm still laughing at that one. The way she just turned her characters, like her accent, everything, she just came on with the you know, the gangster. It was cute.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I want to watch that.
I like your name.
You didn't see that part.
You got to see that one.
Well, Thursday was
hilarious.
I'm actually enjoying Days right now. I don't know.
Yeah, me too.
Only one.
No, I am too.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. I think what kind of highlight.
Mickey and Maggie, Kate and Stefano.
Yeah.
Brady.
Oh, Kate and Stefano on Thursday. That was wonderful.
Oh, is he the kiss? Oh, that was cute.
Yes.
Like that.
Part, you know, all of them sitting, the whole thing about how, you know, they actually care about each other, and then talking about whose fingerprints were, you know, how he knew it wasn't Bill, and who he thinks it really is. And
hey, we have a caller.
They never quite pass that one thin line where they absolutely trust each other, and you know they just never will.
No, they never will, I don't think, either.
Okay, let's get the caller on, because I haven't been paying attention. I didn't realize I had one. I was looking at the chat room. Yeah, there's a way. I'll make a suggestion. Anybody from Blog Talk Radio is listening. If I could have my dashboard on the left side of the screen and my chat room on my right, I can do two things at once. But no, I can't. I have the chat room on one tab, and I have the dashboard on the other. But I'm going to put on... Or enlist a caller, I think it's Bia.
Bia.
Bia, are you on? 111?
Hi, girls.
Hi.
Hi.
I was not supposed to be on. I was just listening to the show, but it's really entertaining.
Oh, thanks.
Thanks.
Hey, what time is it in the morning right now for you?
Oh, it's my 4 in the morning.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my. Oh, you're so sweet.
Oh, wow. You're getting up earlier.
You don't have a question for us?
Stays up.
No, I have a question. What about, are you looking forward to the 45th anniversary party and the celebration around that?
I'm not sure what all they're doing, but I don't know.
I heard they're going to have a TV show, even something about that.
Yeah. I had heard that stream it online. There was a rumor about that.
Well, I was
going to
say, what's the point of having it if we don't get to see it?
Right.
That's true.
Well, there's a private party this Tuesday on the 28th for the cast, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just
but I don't know. I don't think fans are invited, which I don't understand that. I don't know why fans aren't invited to that. And I think Day of Days, I guess, they'll be celebrating that in November.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's how I understand. That's for the fans. There will be some kind of special thing.
Yeah.
We got you on, babe, why don't you tell us how you thought about Leanne's interview and you staying up 24 hours straight.
I had to go to school.
To listen to it and go to school. Yeah. Was it worth it? Bia?
Did she leave?
I'm not. I'm here.
Okay. Yeah. Was it worth it staying up 24 hours straight?
I beg your pardon. Say that again.
Was it worth it to stay up for so long just to listen to Leanne and get to talk to her again?
Oh, yeah. Of course that was worth it. I did stay up for all those shows, for all the interviews, because not just the Leanne one, also all of the interviews before. Because it was a really great insight in, you know, just hear it, how the actors, sometimes it's interesting, they say, actually, we meant to act it out like this, And then you think, oh, okay, I didn't get it that way. So I really appreciate everyone doing the show, and because you get this great insight and you get behind the scenes, you know, little tidbits and little stories, and it's always entertaining. So I do stay up for that because it's entertaining.
You're definitely dedicated.
I am.
You are.
Hey, come on, guys. When you were very young, didn't you stay up all night to do certain things? Get up really, really early so you could get in line to get those tickets to see whatever band it was you were crazy about, or you know.
Mm-hmm.
I did. Stand in a line that went all the way around the building to see a movie.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I've done that.
I wish
I could do that.
I did that with my daughter to see the Backstreet Boys. Stood in line forever.
That's not worth
ever.
It, no.
Yeah.
What a good mom though.
For your 12-year-old daughter,
Yeah.
It was fun. I had a good time too.
I was just thinking of motherhood and what Leanne was talking about, because I asked about her cats and she said, well, in my firstborn, I just thought that was
cute.
I'm like, mine's an only child, but, you know. No, but, yeah, it was just so cute. When she said, and in my firstborn, she's a doll. I don't know.
Bea, if you want, I could just put you on mute and you could still listen. Is that what you, would you want me to do that for you?
I would appreciate that, yeah.
Well, thanks for being a good sport and talking
Thank
to us
you.
Anyway.
Bye.
Thanks for having the show and being so entertaining.
Oh, thanks. Yeah,
oh,
hopefully this works.
You.
If not, you can call in, and I promise I won't put you on the line.
Uh-huh.
Goodbye, Bea.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay, yeah, she's still there. Okay. She's just
muted.
Okay. All right. I didn't realize she didn't want to be on.
Well, she was a trooper. That was
all
nice.
Right. We can take callers.
Yeah, I want to take calls.
Yeah, nobody call. Yeah.
Especially Nicole should call in. I'm just saying.
Yeah. I think Nikki should call in, too.
Yeah, Nikki should call in.
Shelly.
I think Shelly should call in, too, for sure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hey, who's got that in the background? Okay, that's gone. Okay, all right. Well, let's talk about Vivian.
Okay.
So before... she kills me.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
I'm enjoying both of them. Brady especially.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I have kind of a thought on that, the whole thing. I am enjoying that. I thought it was I know it revisits an old story and everything, but I love the twist, and I'm really enjoying seeing Brady, you know, struggle with his inner good guy but being a bad guy too. I mean, sort of justified anyway, you know. I mean, you can really make an argument for what he's doing anyway, but he, I really like him. It's just kind of like new John had that edge and new Brady has that edge, and I like that. But I don't know about you guys, but I think the sarcophagus is too cushy. I think it's just a little bit nicer digs than the coffin was before, and I don't think it lends itself to the as much draw. I mean, maybe it's all supposed to be comedy anyway for this, but I don't get the sense that I did when I saw the scenes of Carly, like, literally trying to breathe and everything. I know it's a different scenario,
yeah, she was
but
terrified.
I was expecting Vivian to really be freaking out by now, and it sort of seems like they're just, like, talking to each other, you know. I don't know. I mean, that's just my perspective. I could be...
Yeah,
so
it's all air-conditioned in there.
No tension whatsoever, other than the fact that
silly.
It's to watch.
What's that?
There's no tension going on other than... Actually, the only real tension is that Brady isn't being the goody-two-shoes he was before.
Yeah.
I don't feel any tension when it comes to... I don't feel a whole lot of tension when it comes to Vivian worrying about whether she's going to get out of there.
She doesn't seem terrified or scared.
It's like she's annoyed because she has to listen to these other people going on about...
Yeah.
Whatever that you know, that she has to listen to Carly.
It's kind of missing some beats to me. I mean, I don't mind the story. I don't mind this aspect of the story or whatever it is. But that's exactly right.
Has she shown any terror whatsoever?
That's exactly what I've been
No, she's not shown any terror at all. No, I don't think.
Yeah. Whereas when they, I never saw the original, but when they showed replays of Carly being in the coffin, I was literally I'm claustrophobic anyway, and I'm not a fan of Carly's. But I was like having trouble breathing watching it. And
well, and that coffin, my God, there's more room in that coffin than there is in my bedroom.
Because it's an upgrade. They upgraded it to like a 5-star coffin instead of like a, you know, Motel 8 or something. And so now it's like the, you know, 5-star equivalent. And it's like, it just seems just too cushy. I don't know. It just seems like there's too much room, and it's not creating, like you said, it's not creating that tension or the drama. Now, I mean, there are some good lines. They've had some good lines, and I love, particularly love Brady, Eric Marsoff's performance, which I never thought I would say, but I really am enjoying him. But I don't know. I'm glad you really hit the nail on the head, because that's exactly what I've been
let's face it. Don't you enjoy Vivian better as the one that's being the torturer instead of the one being tortured? She's just better. She was so good when she was torturing Carly.
That's true.
She's better that than she is as the victim, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
probably.
I think part of it is I don't think you can possibly compare the writing now. Even as much as I'm enjoying Brady, there's just absolutely, and I'm not a big fan of Riley, you know me, but the writing for Vivian back when she was sparing Carly, it's like comparing William Faulkner to a third grader.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, I agree there. It was,
Well, but, you know, they they had that scene when Carly and Vivian were sort of newly back in Salem. They were
wasn't that lovely when they first see each other?
Elevator scenes, that freaked me out. That really brought something out.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, the way she had her in there and she was terrorizing her, that was good, I thought. So this is just, for me, I don't know, maybe it's right, maybe what you're saying, Marian, I think you were saying that maybe it's because she's the victim this time instead of the victimizer, but I don't know.
Right.
It's kind of not hitting all the...
My guess is they're trying to show, because they don't want Brady to look like Vivian.
Right.
The person doing it to her is not like Vivian. Yeah, he's got an edge, and he's pissed off at her, and he can be an addict. But that's not the same as being immoral.
Right.
Yeah, and he didn't plan this. This just happened, like spur of the moment out of it.
Vivian her in there because she was going to do something to him,
planned this.
And she did put his mother's remains in with the dog, I think, or something like that.
Yeah, that's not right there.
Yeah.
Okay, so we have another caller. And I think this one actually wants to be on the line.
Yeah.
We have area code 215.
Yep.
Hello, 215. Hi.
Hello. It's Nicole.
Oh, hi.
Yay.
Hi, Nicole.
How are you?
How y'all doing? Good.
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 I had to comment on the whole Vivian in the box thing.
Yay.
Oh, okay. Yeah, go ahead.
I loved her back in the day when she was really, really evil, and I think now they're kind of wasting her.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Then she's come back. It's just, I
loved her and Yvonne together.
Because how can you waste somebody as amazing as Louise Sorrell?
Mm-hmm.
And they are.
Yeah.
I mean, I definitely don't like how she's being written now that she's back, but it's when she was terrorizing everybody. She was way better than she is now. I mean, she had some great one-liners on occasion, but for the most part.
Well, or maybe if she acted terrified or something, I mean, that might help. I mean, there's not even a bead of sweat going across her forehead or something. It's almost like her necklace has stayed perfectly in place. I mean, I'd be ripping that thing off. I'd be tearing the upholstery apart, you know. That thing would be, you know.
I remember Carly, like, clawing at it at the carpet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm just like, just petrified. Yeah.
Well, I think that's kind of, and I mean, obviously, it kind of, what they're kind of doing is sort of a...
Playing it for fun. Like
and also, this is your life, sort of. You know, she's overhearing all these people you know, expressed relief and joy over her leaving town, and you know, and kind of in your face with Victor and Maggie.
Victor was
and all
dancing
that.
There, dancing around in the room.
Yeah,
yeah, that was funny.
So there are some, you know, some elements of torture there that, you know, but instead of her being upset, she's like, well, when I get out of here, I'm going to kill both of those, or, you know, people or whatever, you know, I don't know.
Well, Brady said something to her on the end of Thursday's episode about, you know, not when you get out, but if, and she started, and she broke down, and I wanted to laugh.
Yeah.
And that had nothing to do with Louise Sorrell.
Yeah.
It was just, you know, after the whole thing, if she doesn't look frightened at all, then she's crying at the end because she might never get out. Oh, my. That's just, you know.
Maybe she ultimately knows that Brady is not a bad guy and that eventually he'll, I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, then we'll cry.
Yeah, when his mother comes back.
Yeah,
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Stacey, what's her name? Stacey Gleason or Greason?
Greason. Greason.
Yeah,
yeah,
she's going to come. She's her ghost. And yeah.
Oh. I have a point to make, too, about why this one isn't as creepy and scary. I think part of it, too, is that Vivian's not buried underground like
that's
Carly
that,
was.
Yes.
That's true.
Exactly.
Because
there's
that's a lot scarier.
Being buried underground and just laying in there. Yeah.
In a way, it's kind of
true. Yes.
Yeah. Because
you know, all you
do
is, you know. Yeah,
all she needs to do is get this, you know, the lid popped out and she can get out. This is, you know, being underground. Doesn't matter if you get the door open. You're underground.
You're underground with the dirt on.
I'm
terrifying.
And I'm kind of surprised. I'm not like a sarcophagus expert, but do you think someone on the outside would hear her? I mean, you know, she should at least be thrashing around or banging or making noises or something or other.
She may have said it. She doesn't even do that.
No,
she's the one who ordered this thing, right, Vivian? With the idea that she was going to bury Maggie, so she probably didn't. She's got the money, so she probably had it made so it was soundproof.
Soundproof.
That I
can
see. Mm-hmm. Although, did they explain that anywhere? Probably not.
Well, when she and Gus were talking about the different things she was doing, like the supposedly toxic paint or whatever, she was talking about how, you know, she was making all these upgrades to it.
Yeah.
Including, you know, the fact that she wanted the pink pillow so that Maggie's red hair would clash with it.
I love that.
Vivian's red hair is clashing with the pink pillow.
In perpetuity or whatever.
Really, Vivian doesn't need to eat or drink or
use the
facilities either. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, she's just, you know, just relaxing.
Of course, we have to remember, maybe she's only been in there for an hour in Dave's time.
That's
I mean, she's been wearing that same dress.
Yeah, she's been in there a week
for
now.
But it's like, you know, before she even got in the sarcophagus. But it could be that it's just been a few hours, you know. So. We may have 3 more weeks of this, folks.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, yes. Oh, wouldn't be surprised.
They were mentioning in the chat room about Mary Beth Evans came back this week.
Yes.
Yeah.
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 So nice
of
her.
Yeah.
That was,
It is.
She actually got
to
watch
deal with
Stephanie.
So poor Mary Beth. She has the Stephanie storyline.
Yeah.
What can you do? I'm sure she'll make the most of it, though. I'm sure.
Yeah. No, it was nice to see a friendly face and someone that, you know, all loved over the years. It was nice to see her back, and I don't know, it was, you know.
She brought Joe with her.
Yeah,
well,
didn't
we talk about last time whether it would be who it was that changed the DNA results, and we were saying it would be kind of cool if it turned out to be Daniel. I'm sitting there watching Thursday, and there's Ian, and getting attended to by him, and he's looking at his phone thinking him and Stephanie are talking about maybe it was Daniel.
Yeah.
He's saying it's not Daniel now. He checked it out.
Yeah?
It's not. Yeah.
Oh, really?
But it couldn't have been Daniel.
He was looking at the phone, and then Nathan walked in on him. So I didn't see Fridays. Did he?
I didn't either.
Yeah, they kind of explained. Yeah. Somehow he figured it. I think it might be Nathan who did it. I don't know.
I'm going with Carly.
Carly's the most obvious. So
it
could be Carly. Yeah.
Well, I originally thought it was Philip, but now that it's not Philip, I'm going with Carly.
Didn't I hear
somebody
said it would be a surprise?
I mean, the person who's going to be the most pissed off at her is her daughter. Would she do that?
You're right, yeah. Of course, she's been standing by and covering for Chloe for months, and so she, you know, without seeming to be concerned that her daughter, you know, I guess she could say, well, I was trying to keep your marriage together, you know, what, I don't know.
But Carly doesn't know that Carly's out with Philip, though.
Carly
right?
doesn't know it's Philip, though.
Oh, that's right. I forget.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I forget
Stephanie's
that.
Stephanie's the only one. Stephanie and Philip and Chloe are the only ones that know that. Yeah. Nathan doesn't even know it's Philip. He knows it's somebody.
Okay.
Yeah.
Stephanie, Chloe, and who?
Chloe and Philip. And then Stephanie's the only one that knows that it's Philip.
She didn't tell Nicole who it was she slept with.
Nicole doesn't know it's Philip either. Mm-mm.
Well, and if Nathan doesn't know it's Philip, then he doesn't really have a reason to, you know, worry. I mean, if he was really worried he would lose Stephanie or he'd want to go back to Melanie or whatever, well, if he doesn't know it's Philip, then why would he even care, you know, to change things?
Yeah, I kind of get that vibe when I was watching him and the whole thing
just
going on.
Just to keep Melanie happy that her dad, so she doesn't, you know.
Well, that angle, I hadn't thought of that.
The sad part is I can't say I really care.
Why do we care? I don't care who Nathan or Stephanie or... The only person I care about in the whole thing is Philip, and only because I want them to get rid of Melanie.
I like Melanie again. I couldn't stand her when she was first reunited with Carly and Daniel because she was just so annoying again. But I like her. I mean, she's got some smog and, you know, in smaller doses when she was on every single day and, you know, everything. It was too much. But I talked to Molly for a minute at the Henry
Fast. I just can't reconcile the character that came on 2 years ago with the one I see now. I mean, at least that one was fun. I remember when
Chelsea was on, I didn't stand her at
first,
but then I kind of grew to like her. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Rachel Melvin really did a good job, you know.
I like Melanie more when she was a bad girl.
I talked to Molly Burnett when I was at Henry's Hat for a few minutes, and I told her, I got to admit, when you first came on the show, I couldn't stand Melanie. I mean, I said, Dave has a nasty habit of when they bring somebody new on or they bring somebody back, except for when Tony and Anna were back, they weren't on every day, unfortunately, but they tend to bring these people on or back and just burn us out on them, you know, like hit us over the head with it, thinking that if they keep telling us what great people they are or what miracle worker Daniel is or whoever it might be, that we're going to believe it and want to see them every day 24/7. And, you know, and I told her, I said, you know, so it was just too much. And I said, once they gave your character a chance, you know, gave you a chance to get into the character and gave us a chance to have a break and kind of, you know, then I started really liking Melanie. And she said, she didn't elaborate too much, but she told me that she totally agreed with that, you know, that it bothered her too, I think. So, you know, you never know.
She knew nobody could stand the character.
She was screechy. You know, heard that. She was on every single day for the first 2 months that she was on the show. And that's just too much. Plus, she was around Max, and that never is good for anyone. But, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know. So I thought that was kind of interesting to talk to her about that. But so I don't know. So I can take her in small doses. And I thought it was interesting at the end of the thing when Nicole said something about what you know, Chloe did to Daniel. Boy, you know, they were all like, what? So, you know, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how that plays out. But I'm just glad that they've gotten away from the repetitive Chloe Carly conversations where they talk about the same thing for like 3 or 4 months. They had this virtually the same conversation, and it was annoying anyway. It would have been annoying one time, but to have to hear it all the time, I tuned out a lot of it during that period because I was just like, I can't deal with that. So, I don't know.
No, I understand.
Speaking of the other never-ending storyline with Sammy, EJ, and Rafe, now the spoilers are that EJ's faking his amnesia, Sammy knows he's faking his amnesia, and she's playing along.
Sammy knows that he's faked? How does Sammy know he's faked?
I don't know.
She faked her amnesia, so she told the writers that, you know, she can't possibly, you know, not
suspect that he's faking his. He does, but she doesn't know.
Oh, she's thinking he might be.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then it says something like EJ knows that Sammy knows he's faking it, and they're both all playing along. This sounds like a really bad Three's Company episode.
Oh, I'm confused already.
Do you just need Jennifer to come back to life? And...
No, of Friends.
Three's Company was amusing. This is not
No,
amusing.
It wasn't. It was bad.
Well, okay,
the episode
of
Friends.
Hey, when I was in junior high, that show was amusing.
How do you like how they've been like kind of throwing Rafe under the bus and making him the bad?
I love
that. Him not rootable anymore. He's just like a. He always was a jerk, but now they're.
Well,
they were playing to be a hero.
People.
Now they're.
I don't get it. I do not get how anybody can find him appealing at this point.
But I think that's the point.
He never was appealing, but he did.
I think the writers have finally realized it. And they're finally allowing us
to. The writers realize that he is that he cannot, you know, be a leading man material. Then why are they making EJ go down this road? Because this is a road where you hit a blank wall. I mean, if we're just going to keep going round and round where he's manipulating her no matter what, and Rafe is always standing there waiting to rescue her, then.
Yeah, but are they bringing in a new actress? Maybe I heard.
Mm-hmm. I heard that
somebody new coming
old,
in, maybe for EJ. I'm thinking everybody's hoping maybe it's somebody new instead of Nicole or Sammy or.
Well, I hope so too because
I heard there's a new actress
gonna,
coming.
If this is the way they're going to
you know,
keep
that
Sammy
age
going,
group or whatever.
Well, I don't want to see her with them anymore. First of all, she's stupid. And this idea that EJ is interested in this stupid person anymore is just degrading.
He shot him.
Well, but yeah, because I know a few weeks ago we were talking about how we just, you know, like I remember saying something about, like, I just don't see Rafe as being rootable. And like you just said, it's the last few weeks or so it's become more and more apparent they're not writing him to be rootable, which... I find some comfort in that, at least. I mean, I used to have a lot of fun bashing Daniel when, you know, he was written as an especially big tool. You know, I kind of enjoyed being able to bash him. So maybe they figure that since we're already bashing him, they might as well make it legitimate. I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, I look at Rafe, EJ, and Sammy, and all I can see is John, Kristen, and Tony all over again. Mm-hmm. Everybody,
oh, yeah.
The same thing. John didn't behave. That wasn't rootable behavior. What's rootable about ruining somebody's marriage so that they leave their husband and then they come to you and then you turn around and tell them you're in love with somebody else? That's rootable behavior? You know, I'm sorry. This show has now a 15 to 20 year habit of writing heroes as just very unrootable, but they consider it.
Just see, like, if you take a 15 year break from the show, you know, then some of it's not as repetitive.
Sorry.
Yeah. Nick, okay, well, what said that
right? A long time
Dave and I were just on a break for a while. You know, we came back together.
Rafe, he's a lot more pathetic than John was, but, I mean,
yeah. Nicky said Rafe needs the wood on the pier.
Yeah. Rafe, meet pier, meet wood.
Yeah, meet the wood.
Meet the wood. Wood, meet Rafe.
He's on the pier there enough, you know.
Oh.
Have him fall off the steps.
I don't think he's worthy of that. I don't think he's worthy of Tony DeMira.
I have to tell you what my son said. And I were watching the show.
Rafe needs to go upstairs and take a nap.
Yeah.
And never
that
come
was hard
down.
To watch.
And never come back down.
Oh.
My 9-year-old.
Tommy Horton up in the cellar or the attic, whatever the hell it is.
Be
good for me.
Cassie's still taking a nap.
Yeah.
Maybe she wants to cuddle with Rafe. She's lonely up there.
No. Kathy was all sorts of things, but she don't deserve Rafe. No, no, don't get it.
Oh, okay. No. And she's a Demira. She's not a Brady anyway.
Oh, okay.
So.
Yeah.
Right. She'll always be a Demira in my book.
In her heart, she will never be a Brady. That's
okay.
Yeah.
Well, we touched on it early on, but with Stefano and Kay, of course, I have to talk about them.
Yes.
You know, I'm so glad they've actually had some real screen time the last month and a half, and to me it makes a big difference. I don't know, partly because I love them, but also they're just more interesting. I just realized that, okay, I'm a dork, but somebody posted something on Sony, and I was like, oh my gosh, it's Dave's first anniversary today. Okay, I know.
Oh, it's been that long.
I pulled up my DVR because I had saved
it.
That's long by soap standards.
And they haven't killed each other yet.
they're planning. He's thinking
about it.
The day she had to tell him about Chad, too. That was good.
Yeah. You know,
he still doesn't know about Chad, right?
We still have some secrets to be
He doesn't know about Chad yet.
But I was thinking, I guess technically it was the 24th, but the wedding went into the 25th. I don't know. Anyway, so they've made it a year. I think that's pretty good. And I wrote somewhere today that, I think is paper the first anniversary gift or whatever. I just hope it's not a divorce paper that he hands it. But anyway, I just love them. And this week they had, they're just so multi-layered and they have so many, there's just so many ways they can go at the story and, you know, the way they play each scene. And, of course, we talked about the smooch. But I loved it how, I mean, Stefano can't help but love her when she starts, crying. I mean, like when the real tears start coming up, she's just so, I don't know. But I guess I'm gushing right now. But
I liked it how even after that she immediately said you didn't think he was innocent just because I said so.
Right.
Right.
And when they're sitting
they
on the couch after
each other so
they're
well.
Sitting on the couch the next scene, I loved how he put his hand on her leg and that was like woo. But the little things. We look for the little things at this point. But,
they love each other, but they'll kill each other for,
That makes them so fun to watch, though. They've got history.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And they know each other. And the thing of it is, in a way, they respect that about each other. I mean, they both love their families to a fault and often screw their families up as a result of their, love for them. But they both have that same sort of, it's a good quality, it's also a flaw, but they respect that in each other. And so naturally, he knows that about Kate, and he knows that she would protect hers just like he would protect his. And so
there's still a couple of people who, as deeply as they love, it's still all about them.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's when it comes to love for them, it's about how they feel. When the other person does something that they're uncomfortable with,
you're right. I mean, the narcissism runs deep in the certain characters.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway, so, yeah. So, but I found those scenes to be really a lot of fun, and I just hope we keep getting to see them. And I really would love for Bill to come back, even though I love Stefano and Kate, because I would love to explore that territory with they definitely had chemistry. But
I like the guy they had.
And I think Stefano needs to be kept on his toes. He needs a little challenge, and I think Bill could provide that challenge. So I would love to see that down the road. Kind of have a competition for Kate.
I'm not sure when it was. I'm not sure if it was before our last thing. I think it was right after EJ was shot and Stefano has a scene with him. It was a wonderful scene, except he's telling him how he's always been his favorite. How do you guys feel about that?
Mm-hmm.
That bugged me. That really bugged
Did
me.
Did it?
Yeah.
That really, really, that rubbed me the wrong way. Like, a father's not supposed to have a favorite, but you've been... No, wait a minute.
Even Tony accused EJ being the favorite.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, kids know if they're the favorite or not.
Yeah.
They know. Kids know.
Yeah. Kids know. Oh.
Yeah.
It wasn't to me, it wasn't so much it was that he called him his favorite, but it was like, you've always been my favorite. He's 8 years old.
Well,
and he wasn't even around him for most of his childhood, was he? I mean,
he wasn't around him during his childhood. Yeah.
Well, Stephanie wasn't around any of his kids for their childhood. Tony was even kept away from him.
Tony probably grew up the most around him.
Right.
Yeah.
But, I mean, all
of
his kids were
adults. He was like 5 or 6
years
old when his mother took him away, so he was there for a very formative time.
Yeah.
I know Riley changed it and tried to make it sound like he was there the whole time, but he was there some. But I don't know. That kind of it rang true in a way, but it still bothered me because I feel like they're trying to erase all the other Demare history all over again.
But they didn't mention Tony this week, though. I did see Kate and Philip talk about Tony at the pier.
Stefano's not saying I'm going through this again. Oh, Tony, you know, he didn't really. Stefano hasn't.
No, they don't bring. Yeah, but Kate brought it up with Philip.
Well, and they did have a scene a few months ago. It seemed like they had a scene a while back.
It's a while ago. Wow, but not recently.
Yeah.
Yeah, but a while ago they kept talking about him, but not recently. But you would think this would bring back really bad memories for Stefano.
I don't think they ever talk about either. They never, ever talk about Kristen and Peter. And they're not my favorite Demarest, but have they mentioned their name since
Hogan? No,
it's
not like...
Well, it's like the
Casey and Rex, they're not even... They don't even exist.
Yeah, that's true.
Kate isn't allowed to talk.
They're not even her kids anymore. Yeah, never even happened, that storyline.
Which honestly, from the way I heard it, I didn't actually watch during that time. From the story that I heard, I was thinking, I'm kind of glad they forgot about that. But I know that they're Demare, so I won't defer.
Well,
to
Demare, they're Demare.
But
they were great when they were
Demare. The whole story sounded really weird to me. I don't know.
It was kind of stupid the way they.
Went through an entire baby switch, of which EJ was the subject of a baby switch at his birth. Did anybody even say anything?
Well, the whole Elvis, how he was even like brought, that was.
I know.
That was a baby switch there too. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Well, so don't you just love how, I don't know, Sammy, I don't know, what do you think about Sammy knowing that Will's kind of been sort of set up as a possible suspect? I'm surprised
she should have been confessing by now.
What I was thinking. I was thinking she should have been throwing herself on the mercy of the
mother,
at this point, the woman who goes and leaves her kids with her mother so she can have sex after those kids, she just ripped those kids away from the only home they've known for over a year now.
She's a lousy mother. Sorry.
Oh, man.
They're doing their utmost to destroy Sammy Brady.
They just want to make sure that there's material for the generations to come. And if they're
parented
by somebody like
one.
Sammy, they're certain to have issues. No.
She better not have any more kids,
ridiculous.
Please.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Are you kidding? Now she's going to have a kid with Rage.
Probably.
How much you want to bet?
Oh, I hope not.
I wouldn't be surprised.
People make snotty remarks on message boards about how the only person allowed to have kids on this show is Sammy. And it's true.
Chloe's dying.
The only people allowed to have babies on the screen was John and Marlena, and now it's now it's their kids. Yeah.
Nadia said there's a baby on the show now.
Yeah.
She just tweeted that this week, so apparently Chloe does give birth.
Mm-hmm. I'm kind of excited if I have any investment in that storyline at all. It's that I would like to see Chloe back together. But I want her with Daniel. But I think it'll be fun to I think it'll be fun to see Victor and Kate realize that they have another grandchild. mm-hmm. to have a grandchild with her, that they're going to be stuck with her for forever.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's going to be quite,
especially
I think
Victor.
That could be fun. I think that could be fun.
Hey, I'd find it a lot more amusing if Victor were to find out that Nicole gets pregnant by Brady. Somehow that just sounds more delicious.
Enough.
That I would give anything for. Because after the way Victor treated Nicole, man, he deserves to have a great grandson by that girl.
I thought of something else. You know, you think, okay, maybe, I mean, I am liking the show again more recently, but I when I was flipping back to look at the scenes of Kate and Stefano's wedding this morning, when I realized that it was their anniversary, I was fast forwarding through everything, and Neil was on quite a bit, and I thought, you know what, the show has improved. She's no longer on it. They have made some good choices there in getting rid of certain characters that had nothing to add, you know. I don't know. So that kind of reminded me that, well, you know, it's not as bleak as it could be. I don't know. Just an observation.
Well, the show's over, guys.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, we're done. That's
yeah.
Okay. Says, you know, 15 so seconds. That's 15 seconds.
Oh, I am.
Time's good.
So it's not streaming live, but we're still being recorded.
It's still being recorded, though. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, someone just dropped off.
They can't hear us in the chat room anymore, right? Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
No. Yeah. B is the only one who can hear us right now. But
okay.
How funny! I didn't realize it was time.
Yeah. So Nicole just disappeared. But anyways, I wanted to thank Marianne and Madeline and Anna and Nicole and Bea for calling in.
Okay.
Well, great.
You guys are so awesome. I'm just going to slack every single show now. I mean, hell, I don't even have to.
Prepare a thing. Okay.
Well, I wrote up my intro 5 minutes before the show because I threw away my old intro.
Yeah. Well, after you've been doing it for a little while, you can start doing stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. You just start talking. It's
just
easy.
Yeah.
So, is anybody going to go Skype?
I am for a little bit. Yep.
Okay. All right.
I'll make my dinner.
Okay.
You guys, good talking with you.
Uh-huh.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, guys. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.